Let us pray. Good Shepherd, teach us to follow you, to care for all those who are close to us, to protect those who are threatened, to welcome those who are rejected, to forgive those burdened by guilt, to heal those who are broken and sick, to share with those who have little or nothing, to take the time to really know one another and love as you have loved us. Teach us to follow you, Good Shepherd, and to be faithful to the calling that you gave us, to be shepherds in your name. Amen. Please be seated. When I was growing up, there were certain rituals that always took place in this Easter season. And one of them was the annual showing on network TV of The Wizard of Oz. And that was before cable. Yes, there was a time, kids, before cable. And my sister and I would get on the couch, and my sister would get the blanket. And every time, we had seen it so many times we knew, right before the Wicked Witch came onto the screen, the blanket would go up over our heads. Now, having seen that movie so many times, we knew when it was coming, and yet still, the blanket would go over the heads. Sort of took the suspense out of it when you know what's going to happen. Well, the Jews today asked Jesus, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? And Jesus' answer is almost like that with the Wizard of Oz to say, look, you know, you have seen the works that I do. You have seen what's going on. You ought to get it, but you still don't believe. What's it going to take? And it's similar in our own lives. We have seen God at work in so many ways. The New Testament reading from Acts that you can look up, that's in your bulletin for today, tells the story of this wonderful lady by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas. And she had used the gift that she had to make all these wonderful clothes. And she's on her sick bed and they think she has died, and they're showing all these wonderful things she has made. Her works have testified to her belief. And so Peter comes, and what does Peter do? He says, get up, and she's raised to new life. Peter is doing what his good shepherd did. There's two things that I want to go to today to amplify this point about Jesus, our good shepherd. You know, every year, on this Sunday of Easter, we have what's called Good Shepherd Sunday, and we get some section of John's Gospel where Jesus is talking about the Good Shepherd. Well, this is my 16th Good Shepherd Sunday here at St. Joseph's, and to be honest, I'm running out of ideas, because we've talked just about everything. But I want to talk about two things that really stick out for me this week. It begins with a story that many of you have heard before, but I think it is the classic story to help us to understand what Jesus is trying to get at. It's the story of a cocktail party that was taking place in Hollywood. And all of these famous people were gathered. And all these people were gathered, and suddenly the most famous actor that they knew unexpectedly came in. And they wanted him to perform. They wanted him to do something. He was so good. Well, he hadn't prepared anything. And the only thing that they could find in the house was a Bible. So they hand him the Bible and said, would you read something for us? He turns to Psalm 23. And he gets up and with all of his acting ability, does this incredible performance of Psalm 23. And at the end of it, they stand up and they applaud. Oh my gosh, they say it's the best we have ever heard. Well, after the excitement dies down, they realize that the pastor of the local church is there as well. And the host of the party is a little embarrassed and says, Pastor, we'd like then to offer you an opportunity to do something as well. If you would like, what would you like to do? And he says, well, I would like to do Psalm 23 also. And without picking up the Bible, he simply recites it. And does it in such a way that when he is finished, it is completely silent in the room. He had done it so prayerfully, so humbly, so beautifully, that it just left them speechless until the actor stands up and applauds and says, I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. The point of that story and of Jesus talking about being the good shepherd, my sheep know me and I know them. Our call is to be sheep. Our call is to listen to God's voice, to place our hope and our trust in the good shepherd so that we might live the fruitful life of a sheep that we are called to live. There are some interesting things going on in this gospel that I don't want us to miss. One being the beginning, where John tells us it was the feast of the dedication. This is an important comparison that he doesn't want us to miss. The feast of the dedication. What's it a dedication of? It's a rededication of the temple. In 167 BC, the Syrians had come and taken over and had desecrated the temple. And 3 years later, the Jews have a revolt, and under Judas Maccabeus, they retake the temple. And since it's been defiled, they want to have a rededication celebration that is to last 8 days. The problem is they want to burn the candles, the menorah, but there's only a drop of oil left. So they light the candles, and miraculously, for 8 days, the candles continue to burn. What we know this feast today as is Hanukkah. But the point of the story for the dedication was, in Jesus' day, it would have been the last time that the Jewish people had experienced God delivering them, God protecting them, and watching over them. The most recent experience of that. So when John puts this into the gospel, he's trying to get the Jews and everybody else and us to understand, you know, that miraculous light that will never go out? You know, God delivering you? Guess what? Here it is. Here he is, your good shepherd, Jesus. Put your trust and your hope in him. There was a book written several years ago now by a guy by the name of Philip Keller. And the interesting thing about this guy is he was a shepherd. And he writes a book, and the name of the book is A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And it's a great reflection on that famous psalm that talks about, my shepherd is the Lord, because he gives us the perspective of someone who knows what it means to be a shepherd, because he was one himself. And a lot of his reflections are based on his experience of his neighbor. His neighbor was also a shepherd, but a very bad one. He didn't take care of the sheep. He didn't take care of the grass for the sheep. He didn't make sure they had fresh water. He didn't take care of the fence, and so the bad predators got in and killed the sheep. And he concluded from that reflection that becomes the basis, really, for the book, is that what happens to the sheep depends on the shepherd they have chosen to follow. Now, granted, sheep don't get to choose the shepherd. We do. And the question becomes, which shepherd will we choose to follow? We have examples of God active in our lives over and over again. The second point is, we are then called to give that testimony by the way we live. That we, in a real sense, are called to be those good shepherds, showing the deeds like Jesus does, that yes, this is for real. I had an incredible experience of it this past week. My aunt died, my last aunt, 95 years old, Aunt Laverne. And my mother called me to let me know that Aunt Laverne had died, but she had just gotten a phone call right before that that one of her best friends had died, one of her friends from grade school, that still met every week for breakfast. You believe that? My mother is 90, and she still has breakfast every week with her grade school classmates. Well, another one had died. Aunt Laverne died. My brother, who's paralyzed, Mark, had to be admitted on the same day back to the hospital with an unexplained infection. So my mom was obviously not doing too well. And I thought, you know, I think I need to go. And so I went. This now makes my mom the matriarch of the family. She's the only one left of that generation. What was amazing to me, though, was to go to Aunt Laverne's funeral. Now, to position this, Aunt Laverne was older and her kids were older, so I really didn't know much about their younger days because I wasn't alive. And the four kids were older as well. And I knew that there was a dad who had died, Uncle John, but he had died well before I was born, so I didn't know any of the story. I just knew Aunt Laverne. I knew she worked at the post office, was a supervisor there. And I know she was a special lady because when I got ordained a priest in Rome, she was the first one to buy a plane ticket because she wanted to be there. When Dee and I got married in Jacksonville, she wanted to be there for that. She was always one who just wanted to make sure that we were taken care of. Well, the story of her husband, Uncle John, my family, the Zlatic family, came over from Croatia as stonemasons. They built houses. And Uncle John was the one in charge of the business. Well, because things were tough in those Depression era things, he was paying Social Security for everybody in the company except for himself. He got tuberculosis, and he died. And at the age of 31, Aunt Laverne is left with four kids, aged 2 to 11, with no income and no pot of money sitting around. So I didn't know this until we hear the eulogy and the stories at the wake, that she had a friend who was a beautician, and the beautician said, "Follow me around, and you can figure out how to do this without having to go to school." And Aunt Laverne became the neighborhood beautician, and she'd go from house to house. She'd wash your hair for 50 cents. For a dollar, she would dye your hair, and for two and a half, she'd do both and style it. And that's how she kept food on the table for the four kids. The kids who gave the eulogy said, "We used to complain to Mom that she shouldn't accept people's payment in pennies like they would give her," and her response was, "Pennies, dollars, the bank treats it all the same. What's the difference?" Well, as her life went on, her status in life, she eventually gets a job delivering Yellow Pages phone books. She moves from that. She gets a job part-time at the post office. And by the time I knew her, she was a supervisor at the post office. I didn't know all this other story. Now, here's the part when we start talking about being the good shepherd that just hit me really hard. They didn't have a father. I never really thought about that. Sissy, the youngest of the four kids, pulled me aside at the wake, and she said, "I want you to hear this story." Well, you know who became the surrogate father when their father died? It was my dad. I never knew that. Sissy wanted to tell the story that when she was in high school, it became time for the father-daughter dance, and she had no dad to take her to the dance. My dad did. My dad had a wooden leg from World War II. And Sissy, telling the story, the dad was out there in his wooden leg, twirling her around the dance floor for every dance the whole night long. And she was so excited to share that story. It was as if it had just happened, and it was over 60 years ago. I never knew that. I never knew the stories about how when there was such an event, my mom was the one who made sure Sissy had the nicest corsage of all the girls. I never knew that when funds needed to become available to help that family, it was my dad and his brothers who were the ones who provided them to Aunt Laverne and the family. What an incredible witness that they gave, totally under the radar to all of us kids. Now, what was amazing for me in relation to today, Good Shepherd Sunday, after hearing all these stories, there's a tradition in St. Louis where the body is there and you go up to the kneeler and you say a prayer in front of the body. And I hadn't done that the whole wake. So at the end of the wake, I go up there and I kneel down in front of the body of Laverne, and on the pillow there is something pinned. And I look closely and I see it's the words to Psalm 23. So I was curious, so I asked Sissy, what's the deal with Psalm 23 here? And she said, oh, that was my mother's favorite psalm. And as a matter of fact, when she was in hospice care, it was the last thing that I read to her, and she got a smile on her face, and then she went to heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. She, at too early an age, had to become the good shepherdess for her family. But how many other people came to be good shepherds as well? The Jews asked Jesus, you're going to keep us in suspense? You're going to tell us? And Jesus says, look at my deeds. What more proof do you need? We can do the same. May we keep him as our good shepherd, and may we do the good shepherd and shepherdess deeds that will enable all to have the fullness of life. Amen.